Looks like I'm going to find me in a minute.
How's your wife?
She's doing all right. Thank you. Yeah. I just came from the hospital. Get out.
The hospital?
What's that? No, my daughter. She went there. Yeah. She's out.
She's in the hospital?
Grace, yeah. What book is that?
Grouse.
A ver si tengo las posibilidades de ser buen actor.
Este es el...
Este son nada más unos capítulos. Este es su prefacio.
Hello.
How are you?
Michelle, how are you?
Hello, Michelle.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Nice to see you again.
Señora, mucho gusto, lo voy a agradecer.
Siente. Sit down, please. I just
can't
say hello.
Oh, you're feeling pretty good these days?
Yes, I feel okay.
Oh, that's good.
I was sick last time.
I know. You look good now.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Pleasure. Is that not mine?
Yeah. Doctors and hospitals, they take a lot of money.
Yeah. That's what Jimmy Carter said.
Luis, ¿dónde consiguió una máquina en español? Con los acentos.
Question mark.
No, no tiene nada. Debo advertirle que mi educación fue nada más hasta cuarto año en México.
¿En dónde?
En México, en Bermejillo, Durango.
Ah, en Durango.
Todo lo que yo sé ahora es por experiencia, mis años.
Pues está muy bien, ¿eh?
Esa es cosa, okay. Obra mía, nada más.
Este, Graham. Dear Stevenson, you know, you remember this? Were you there, Max?
Yes, I remember.
You were in the courtroom.
I didn't see you in there, Max. Where were you, hiding?
You were there. I was there.
Well, you didn't come out on that picture.
No. Oh, look here.
Star witness.
Star witness. You look a little heavier.
You look heavier then.
Oh, I weigh 210 pounds.
Wow, what a difference, huh?
Oh, yeah. I got him.
Why is this question mark on there?
Because you know.
This is all the color.
That's what hit me at where I was, you know. Heavy weight, I fight right on the minute.
Same picture here.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember how pictures got out of there then.
These are really good, huh? These clips. Excellent. Right here, guy's breaking the lock. Huh?
This is Master Smith, yeah.
Perdone las faltas de ortografía. Por casualidad, ¿no conoce usted en el Valle a Frank Pérez, que era distribuidor de La Perla?
No,
era un hermano de mi señora. ¿Sí? Él tiene la distribución de La Perla.
¿De McAllen o...?
Mission.
En Mission. Yo trabajé un tiempo en Mission con el periódico ahí.
¿Con el periódico?
Sí, había un periódico semanal que había en Mission. Mission también.
Mi esposa tiene unas primas en Grand.
Y trabajé en Brandy, trabajé con, estuve dos años con el periódico.
Mi esposo de ella se llama Juan
Box 13 was in the wings.
cerca sobre el cometa, el cometa Halley.
El cometa Halley. Yo creo que fue en 1908 o 1909, no recuerdo. Y me acuerdo de haberlo visto.
Un poco antes de la revolución.
Sí, en 1910 estalló la revolución. Tenía yo 9 años, 10 años.
Oh, see, this is August 2nd. This is going to be the evening right here. This is going to be November. I think it must have been November.
Yeah, I would think so.
I think that's a mistake.
And it's also the general election.
See, here it says November 2nd.
So he was there in August.
Who was R.S. Rojas?
Rojas.
Rojas, yeah.
Leo Rojas. He was an assistant.
Did you work with that Holmgreen? Yeah. The mortician?
No, he was my enemy.
Well, I mean his son.
Every Holmgreen was my enemy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, every one of them, including C.W. Fry Jr.
Charlie Fry?
Berkey, Jack Floyd, all the names. I mean political, no.
Yeah. Some AP stories here, Lewis.
Oh, yeah. I told you I was once.
By Max Gill.
Once I was famous.
Yeah, you're going to be famous again. Johnson, the man on the Senate, checked the ballots of every Texas county to check them.
Yeah, Max. You want to go up?
I'm sorry.
I get my wife.
I had the same problem.
I guess everybody has.
Who's this guy? Hap Holmgreen.
You must be about 40 years old, don't you, Aloy?
Yeah.
I'm correct?
Yes, sir.
Tiene mucho.
Habla
muy norteño, ¿quién es eso?
¿Mandé?
Habla muy norteño.
Sí, porque soy del norte. Del norte de la República, Durango y Chihuahua. Me creen los terrenos áridos de aquella región.
Los alacranes.
Oh, sí.
Muy diferente la topografía,
sí,
el terreno allá a este de aquí.
A mí me gusta más la, la parte norte de México que la... Yo trabajé en la Ciudad de México, estuve 3 años allá cuando me fui. Francamente nunca me gustaron los capitalinos. ¿No?
Bueno, no la culpo.
Como que no le caen muy bien los ranchos aquí.
Hasta la fecha no me caen bien.
Ahí de la canción antes de que los ranchos son muy valientes.
Sí. Sí. Cuando yo vine aquí, el hoy...
Que la, matan a los mexicanos por la espalda. Sí, los cazan por la espalda.
Aquí, te voy a decir una cosa. Había mucha discriminación. Sí. Mucha. 1924. Kingswood, Robstown. Todo eso.
A mí,
no admitían mexicanos en los restaurantes.
A mi tarabuelo. A mi tarabuelo le tomaron una oreja los ranchos
embarazos. Usted no es de México, ¿no?
No, soy de cerca de los ébanos. Familia es de ahí, de Río Grande. De los ébanos y de, originalmente de Kingsville. Pero la, vivieron mucho tiempo. Bueno, mis abuelos, mis tarabuelos se fueron a...
Los ébanos están cerca de Roma, por ahí, ¿no?
Cerca de Roma, sí. Entre Río Grande y
La Joya. Estaba confundiéndolos. No, este amigo mío no está en los ébanos, está en... ¿Cuál es el campo de concentración que tiene para la migración allá?
En Hidalgo.
No, cerca de Brande.
En donde está, bueno... Ah, donde está la escuela del Foro Patrón, en la feria.
Sí.
Sí.
Ahí es donde
están. Sí. No, a ese pariente mío le tumbaron la oreja porque cuando estaba un campo de, en Río Grande había un campo de militar ahí, y agarraron a un mexicano del lado mexicano y lo mataron y lo atacaron ahí a la orilla del río. Entonces me preocupa, pero bueno.
Y sí, los ébanos, sí, quedan entre Río Grande y Roma.
Entre Río Grande y Mission.
Y Mission.
Yeah. Y en la medianoche se vino cruzaron el lado mexicano, luego fueron y cruzaron el río otra vez. Lo soltaron y yo lo tenía amarrado y muerto. Y estaban emboscados ahí, le empezaron a disparar y le tumbaron un oreja. Está muy bien, estos son nada más el primero y el segundo y el segundo capítulo y el capítulo 22. 21 y 22. ¿Cuánto, qué tan grande es esto?
Están nada más 22 capítulos.
22 capítulos.
Puedo alargarlo más porque es nada más un... Es un bosquejo nada, sí, más.
Ahora, el primero empieza usted aquí con una narración de su niñez.
Sí.
¿Y la sigue de ahí hasta dónde?
La sigo de allí hasta que se efectuó la entrada a la política en Dallas, 1940. Pero intermedio... Yo trabajé con los Ferrocarriles Nacionales de México. Allá me hice telegrafista, tengo mi diploma. Anduve con Pancho Villa como cerca de 6 meses.
¿Como telegrafista también?
También.
¿En qué parte estuvo con Villa?
Estuve en Escalón, Chihuahua, Jiménez, Chihuahua, Santa Rosalía, Gómez Palacio.
¿Eso ya cuando estaba la División del Norte? ¿Qué año fue esto? En
1914.
1914 ya... No, no, y el 14 ya era cuando empezó a ir al Cielo Sur, ¿no?
Sí, no, en 1914 venía avanzando la gran división del norte, que llegaron hasta la capital, sí. Emiliano Zapata, sí. Francisco Villa, se reportaron
en la capital.
Sí. Naturalmente, Francisco Villa estaba ocupando la silla presidencial.
Que se sentó nada más para ver qué sentía.
Exactamente. Y pues toda mi vida ha sido accidentada de una manera u otra.
¿Qué parte del libro trata de su actividad política? ¿La mitad del libro?
Está como en 1940, es el capítulo 14 o 15.
Del 14 al último capítulo.
Por ahí.
Está más o menos un poco más de la mitad del libro, sí. La mitad de los proyectos.
Das Pancho Villa.
Pancho Villa.
Oh, de Pancho Villa.
Eso es América, ¿verdad? Ese es real Pancho Villa. Así. The picture was taken at my home in Mejillo Durango, I mean Tlahualilo.
Yeah. ¿Usted conoció a Fierro?
Como no, era conductor de ferrocarril, cuando lo estoy conociendo, ¿sí? A usted.
Y es cierto que era tan
desgraciado,
como lo
era. Yo no digo que la Revolución Mexicana a nosotros nos despojó de nuestro terreno, a mi padre, yeah. Cerca de más de 3.000 hectáreas, se la quitó para la, yeah. Para el ejido. Yeah. Y naturalmente, pues yo estoy resentido por eso, porque no terminé mi educación, yeah. Falta de recursos financieros y todo eso. La cuestión es esta. Creo yo conveniente nada más hacer este libro de entrada aquí a Estados Unidos y olvidar lo demás.
No, yo creo que cualquier narración sobre la actividad, aparte que ya tenga usted la actividad política en Texas, Tiene que incluir
todo,
un poco de fondo, ¿no? Sobre la persona.
Sí, pero naturalmente ciertos lectores no les importa mi vida pasada.
No, ya. pero sí. Para poder conocer a una persona necesita describir la persona, describir su pensamiento, sus ideas y dar una... para poder saber lo que esa persona está diciendo y entender lo que está diciendo y entender lo que hizo, por qué lo hizo, por qué no hizo eso. O sea,
no puedo. That's his signature.
Yeah.
He was an alpha man.
He was
a
literal man.
Yeah.
He was what?
He was
literal.
An alphabet. He didn't know how to read or write.
He wrote the signature.
You know, knew how to sign his name, that's all.
That's all he knew how to do.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that. They didn't know how to read or how to write, but they had to. They
learned how to sign their name.
Pero es... yo digo que es interesantísimo tener, incluir el fondo de la cosa personal, porque esa es una narración personal, y para poder oír una voz y conocer la persona le quita mucho. Se necesita que la persona se proyecte por medio de la narración.
¿Usted vio en los periódicos o está informado de estos dos muchachos,
sí,
que hallaron este dinero en Alice? Yo les escribí mucho de lo que se...
Yo los conozco a los ocho, a uno de ellos, a García. Es hijo de un amigo mío.
Es pariente del juez de paz ahí también, creo, ¿no? Sobrino.
Es sobrino de
Alberto.
Cheto. Colin Cheto. Bueno, la idea mía es vender este libro a un producto de cine.
Sí.
Si no me lo compran, pues no se perdió nada.
Pero no tiene posibilidades. Jim me estaba diciendo que él habló con Nueva York y hay... Jim, you told me that you had a proposal.
Is this the outline?
Okay, what this is, Jim, this is the first chapter.
Oh, the first
which
chapter.
Which deals basically with his early life.
Yes, Mark, you can see Mark. I got a lot of things.
Personal thing.
Oh, great.
Then he's got the 21st, it goes down to the 21st, the 22nd chapter, when he starts talking about the what happened there.
His political 22nd chapter?
Yeah, his political activities deal from the 14th chapter on, right? Del 14 en adelante. So about half of the book is strictly on the political activities of the wild town. And the rest 14 of the book,
through 22?
14 through 22 or 14 through 20 what? Yeah.
22 chapters. 14 through 22 is politics.
And do about time. Now the rest of it, I told him that he was asking me if it would be better to have just the political aspects, and I said, well, I think that the person has to project himself.
Oh, I do too.
And especially with a fascinating background like you have, you know, it makes it so much more interesting to read, to describe the person, to give some of his background, so that you can understand it.
Oh, I agree. I think your background is good.
Yeah.
It's part of that time of history. I mean,
yeah, because we're dealing here with
with an pasa event. Like, mira. Por ejemplo, cómo un hombre tan oscuro yo que vino a ser un presidente de los Estados Unidos.
Well, this is what I mean. Poder presentar a una persona.
Porque no precisamente que fue elegido presidente, pero fue elegido senador. Y de senador pasó a la vicepresidencia, y de la vicepresidencia a presidente. Pero todo se debió a que yo apoyé los robos que se robó el Henares.
Sí. Por eso, a eso me refiero, que hay que poner el fondo para explicar la serie de circunstancias que llevaron a esta persona a la posición y al momento en el que pudo hacer esta cosa y convertir a un ranchero tejano.
¿Por qué era lo que era? Sí.
You wanna explain to him what the proposal was, what the possibilities?
Well, we can get a publisher, Lewis.
No problems.
I've talked to the man.
Yeah, but this is the question. Can you get a movie producer to buy this?
The movie will follow the book.
Yeah, here's the way we look at it, Lewis. In other words, right now, you're the only one who knows really what's in the book. You can't talk about a book being made into a movie until everybody knows it's a good, interesting, dramatic story. And we first got to get the story out before people are going to know what's in it and get interested in it. In other words, you mentioned those two kids down in Alice.
Yeah.
Once their story became known, the movie guy wanted to make a movie about it. We all know about Box 13, but the people in Hollywood and New York, they don't know about Box 13. We've got to tell them what it is, that it was corrupt, and it was party politics, and big shots, and the Godfather type of activity. Once they begin to smell some of that and see it.
Well, what about if they don't buy it?
Here's
the book.
The book, there's no question about the book. But what a publisher doesn't accept a book until he sees an outline or something.
you know, where it says chapter 1 through 5, and it gives him enough to know he wants to publish the book, something in writing, the essence of the book. We got to give him something like that. If you and Eloy can work out even on one page, the guy in New York told me one page, he can get a publisher interested in it. But we got to show him.
Sam Post?
No. Totally different guy. This guy, agent, is named George Weiser. You remember a recent book on General Custer? Bestseller?
Yeah.
That agent handled that Custer book. He deals in some big, important publishers. And he's the guy we're going to work with. But we got to give him some. We can't just talk to him. We got to give him an outline that's going to interest him.
A couple pages.
You know, boil it down to a couple of pages. I can send that to him and I can get an agreement on the book. The movie thing depends on how big a splash a news story makes, yeah, and a book makes. Then they'll all be coming in here.
See, the movie producers that just sit in Hollywood and they
wait
the
till
papers,
something happens.
They look at the papers, they look at magazines, they look at books, and they read them. And so now, like you're talking about the two kids, Alice. Nobody knew about the kids and Alice until the AP put a story on the wire. And describe.
Yeah, this guy flew from California when he read the story.
I was in the office when it happened. Let me describe to you how this sort of thing happens. We get a call from a radio station saying that they had arrested two kids. Now they said they were from Waco.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny. The guy said because they had $500,000 in the trunk. Now here's two kids, 15 and 16, and they have $1 million in the truck, and they didn't have any more details, and that all he knew was that they were picked up. So we started calling from the office. We called the police department. I talked to a Sergeant Rodriguez, who was dealing with the case, and he told me all about it. And so then we put a story on the paper. Then we got more details.
Okay, now law?
Sargento Rodriguez in Waco.
Oh.
Then we put the story out on the wire. We went to the newspapers, radio station, TV station. We moved it to New York. It went on to all the papers in the country. And that's when it became known. If we had treated the story, if we had said, well, just a couple of crazy kids, you know, being picked up in Waco with $500,000, and we just let it go at that, nothing would have happened. Nobody would have known about it. But the moment the story goes on the wire, and it's picked up by the newspapers, there's a guy in Hollywood, yeah, reading the papers, and he says, hey, here's something that can be turned into a little movie. So then he flies to Waco, flies to Alice, and talks to the family. And I talked to the producer on the phone.
The guy from Hollywood?
Yeah.
Porque, naturalmente, supongamos que si yo hablo con un agente de Hollywood y le enseñe mi libro, no, ¿qué cree usted?
Again, lo que pasa es que el agente puede venir y decirle, mire, yo puedo hacer esto con puedo hacer una película. Pero si la gente no conoce, no sabe de qué se trata.
Oh, si, la gente sabe.
Si no lo saben, Luis. Lo saben aquí en Texas.
Naturalmente, en 1948, todos los periódicos de Estados Unidos.
Sí. ¿Cuánta gente hay de 48 que siquiera tengo una idea de lo que pasó en 48?
Bueno, naturalmente que es historia.
Sí, pero es historia que poca gente sabe. La gente que va al cine, ¿cuántos saben de eso? Si usted publica un libro, y sobre el libro es como donde se va a trabajar. Porque del libro entonces cuando vienen cuando se dan cuenta de las posibilidades de una película o sobre un artículo. No, es muy difícil conseguir un productor que nada más con decirle, mira, yo hice esto, vaya a decir, ah, sí, muy buena idea para una película. Hasta que no existan datos en un libro conocido, es muy difícil que un productor vaya a mostrar un interés en un tipo de esa cosa. Digamos, un productor de cierta reputación, any producer can come in, any guy can come in from California and say, yeah, I'll get you a movie out of this. But he's just going to take it around and try to peddle it to somebody. It's not going to be that easy.
It looks like it's three steps, Lewis. First of all, you need a story. You need to beat the drums a little bit, get the attention, people. Then the book. The book is number two. Because once this story gets printed in New York Times, Washington Post, political scandal, the book is coming out next. Right. We can work the book. But then when the book comes,
yes, the book comes out.
Okay, that's
and they don't buy it,
what?
I'd be in the same position.
What, the movie? They don't buy the movie?
Yeah.
Well, you still get the book out. And you may sell a lot of books. And
maybe not, I don't know.
Lewis, is we're sitting here, what? I swear, I would bet any amount of money a movie producer will want to do this movie if he reads the story and reads the book. Assuming the book is good. I don't know what's in the book, but it's got to be good. What happened in Box 13, you told us last time, was better than worse than The Godfather, worse. Well, this is interesting. Just on the face of it, but somehow we got to get...
Look at most good movies that you see nowadays. They come out of books. They don't do the movie and then the book.
Estas últimas películas que no estaba haciendo nothing but trash.
But they come out of books.
Come out of books. Black Sunday. You see Black Sunday?
No, I didn't see Black Sunday.
Black Sunday was written by two guys in the AP office.
Yes, AP guys wrote that.
You know that?
Maybe.
When
two guys who were working on AP office came up with the idea, they wrote the book, and then they sold it for a movie.
Lewis, this George Weiser is this big agent in New York. He will be the one to try and sell the book to a publisher. He also could then handle the rights for any movie for that book. That's his business. We would approach him on that basis. Here's what I think we need. We need an outline of the book, which maybe Lloyd could translate or whatever. We give that to one.
The thing you can do is to get in touch with those guys.
I've already talked to New York.
No, New York, no. They no movie producers are there.
Oh, yes, there are in New York.
Well,
yeah, they're not all in Hollywood.
No, the biggest part of it is Hollywood.
That's where they do the work, but a lot of offices are in New York. This guy Weiser could walk right in New York to a movie company's office and try and make a deal for your book. Once we get the thing rolling a little bit, he could handle the book and the movie.
First step, ¿qué va a ser su porcentaje por traducir?
Luis, yo no lo puedo decir ahorita lo que es. ¿Le voy a cobrar o qué le voy a cobrar?
No quiero que vaya a hacer
trabajo. No, tampoco tengo interés en trabajo. No, pero me refiero a que...
¿Usted trabaja con la AP también?
Sí, yo trabajo con la AP.
Bueno.
Ahora, pero esto sería una cosa que no... La que no tendría
eso
nada
es
que
muy aparte
de la AP. Sí. Yo no sé el...
¿Usted porcentaje? Usted vino... con las posibilidades de traducir
el libro
en inglés,
sí.
Este libro.
Ahora, no me voy a poner ahorita a decirle, por ejemplo, quiero tanto, porque ni siquiera he visto el libro. Lo que he leído me interesa, lo encuentro muy interesante.
Bueno, casi todos los capítulos son interesantes. Sí.
Ahora, no sé, inclusive tendría, por ejemplo, que hablar con él y tener una idea de las posibilidades que la gente presente, ¿no? Ahora, Jim, what would be he's asking me, what would be a percentage?
For
what would I charge or something?
For
I
you,
that's impossible. Sam Post, él aceptó a traducir mi libro de Nueva York.
¿Quién?
Sam Post.
Sam Post is the guy that we contacted. This was about 2 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
But here's the way it should be, it seems to me. If you translate the book, you know, that's between you and Lewis. You might do it for a fee, or better than that, you should maybe a certain percentage of whatever the book makes. 10% of the royalties or something. In other words, you'd be gambling that the book succeeded, and if it didn't succeed, you wouldn't owe you anything. But I'll tell you this, we've already discussed, if we sell a book to a publisher, it'd be strictly Lewis and the publisher, the AP might very well run a 10-part series on the book, which he also would get paid for. In other words, we would like the rights to run a 10-part series.
That's a lot of interesting things in here.
The thing is, the more the gets out, the better the chances for a movie.
Mm-hmm. Here's when Pancho Villa was shot in Parral, Chihuahua. He was ambushed.
Luis, I've never done...
letter from Sam Smirlo. Él no sabía escribir tampoco, nada más poner su firma.
I want to tell you one thing, Mr. Banner. You're the guy that's going to get this thing off. I don't want to get rich. I don't want to get a new house, new automobile, and $10,000 or $15,000 to live on. The balance, I don't care about that.
You going to go to Albuquerque?
Okay. I don't think so.
No? Is your son going?
They haven't said anything yet.
No.
Luis, I can't even tell you
if I'm going to charge it.
Well, because I wanted to talk to you.
Oh, what?
And I wanted to, see, I was walking blind for this thing because I'll be honest with you. Jim asked me if I wanted to come in and look at this thing and see if it could be translated. Maybe you could let me look at a couple of chapters and tell you the possibilities of whether I could translate it. I can translate.
Tradúzcame en inglés el prefacio.
La prefacio. Where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace.
What?
Where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is God. And where there is God, nothing is needed, nothing lacks.
Okay. Now, go on.
Yo espero también que la traducción en inglés no va de acuerdo.
No. Una traducción que le haga yo, Luis, tendría que ser revisada por
usted.
Pero
naturalmente debe de ser más o menos.
Luis, le puedo traducir ahorita aquí esto, pero una traducción que le haga yo ahora.
Okay,
no sería la traducción que yo haría. Bueno,
tradúzcame ahora.
Okay. El español que está usando usted aquí, Luis, es un español un poco florido en algunas partes. Por ejemplo, alma descarriada. No hay en inglés una palabra que traduzca el sentimiento descarriado. Entonces hay que buscar otra palabra que podría ser errant, wandering, lost.
Vagabond.
Lost. So, lost, it will be the closest thing to this carriera.
Okay, go on.
Raise your face to contemplate infinito. And look at the, again, el infinito. Es una palabra española en la que no hay equivalentes en español que tengan exactamente el mismo sentido. Está usted usando un español que es muy difícil.
Todo eso lo he sacado yo por experiencia, no por educación.
No, pero me refiero a que el español, hay que hacer traducción párrafo por párrafo y revisarlo.
¿Entiende? Puedo hacer una traducción. Ahora, otra cosa aquí. Los párrafos suyos son de 6 líneas. En inglés, un párrafo así de este largo generalmente se cortaría en 2 párrafos. Bueno, conseguido. Y seguirá. You will find God who will give you, quien te dará reposo en tu lucha. Again, that's another sentence that cannot be translated literally into English.
Bam, te dará reposo.
No, te dará reposo en tu lucha.
Te dará reposo. Give you peace,
comfort,
peace of mind, peace of...
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. You cannot expect a literal translation.
You don't expect literal translation, do you? You know it's word for word.
Let me tell you one thing.
Let me give you an example. Let me translate this. Okay. Go on and talk to me, and I'm going to give you an idea.
All right.
Okay.
You didn't. You
let me tell you one thing. I didn't have no schooling, but I can write better than no 1,000, 2,000 authors. They don't know how to write.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Because I read a lot of books.
That's the best way to become a writer, is to read. But do you expect him to do word for word?
No. Absolutely no. But I want him to tell me, I want to see more or less if he's going to translate my sentiments.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You may not be able to write English too well, but you understand English very well. You read all these books in English.
Yeah.
When he translates something, you read it in English. You'll know if it has your sentiments in there. And if it doesn't, you don't allow it.
You would know.
You would edit his transcription. You'd edit. What he does, Luis, you would then edit.
I have a friend in Mexico City, Leopoldo Renteria. If I print this in Mexico, I know he will sell it. Because I'm from Mexico.
Let me tell you one thing.
Do they care about Box 13 in Mexico?
No, but they care about my life when I was in Chihuahua and all that kind of
But if you try to print it in Mexico, I can tell you one thing. I worked in Mexico City for three years with the AP, and I dealt with a lot of the newspapers and magazines. What they would do in Mexico, they would change a lot of the paragraphs around. They would keep the idea, and they may change some words. Let me give you an example. Para la posteridad de los años. That phrase would not go unedited. They would just cut it. Para la posteridad. When you're talking about la posteridad, you're talking about los años venideros. O sea, sería una forma redundante.
Yeah.
Entonces, un editor en México le quitaría eso. Le dejaría nada más para la posteridad. O la cambiaría a decir para los años venideros o para el futuro. La posteridad es una forma un poco florida de decir el futuro, ¿no?
Get the book in English first, and let the Spanish come second. They might put it into other languages, who knows?
I got a lot of material in there, huh?
Oh, you got a lot in here, too. What is this? I didn't see this.
This is St. Paul, it was here.
This is really good stuff, Louis. It's got excellent background in there. See how you spell the name?
Louis.
L-E-W-I-S.
Yeah. Lyndon Johnson sure make me mad when he didn't get my friend there, Perales, what was his name?
Oh, yeah. He sent a black down, huh?
Yeah, from the city, from Dallas.
Yeah.
that will carry the same meaning. Okay.